From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman.
While the Brits were waking up in the ruins of their nation and saying, oh God, what have we done? A lot of Americans were looking over and saying, oh God, what are we about to do?
I didn't think anyone really believed that UK voters would decide to Brexit.
What happened in England is going to happen again. Next up, the United States.
This is a major, major level of uncertainty worldwide economically.
If what we're seeing now is what we're going to get, I think the U.S. economy is going to be just fine.
It's been 1 week since the U.K. voted to leave the European Union, sending markets into a downward spiral of uncertainty and shocking people around the globe, including, it appears, some of the very people who voted to leave. But now that a little time has passed and we've had a chance to catch our breath, how worried should we be about the Brexit? Is it a sign of things to come in other countries, possibly even here? And what kind of effect will it have on our economy? Well, joining me is Catherine Rampell with The Washington Post and Rob Cox with Reuters Breaking Views. And Rob, we spoke to you a lot actually last Friday when we had learned about the Brexit, when the market was tanking. And now, a week later, things seem to be back to where they were before. So did we overreact?
Well, they are with financial markets. But I think that's partly because this isn't a financial crisis we're looking at. This is a giant sort of global political crisis. And this is probably the most visible manifestation of that crisis. Now, that crisis, you could stem it right back to what happened in 2008. We've had 8 years of stagnant wages. We've had a huge increase in inequality. And I think the people are rather – they're not out yet with the pitchforks, but they are going to the ballot boxes, and they're voting against the people who they think got them into this mess in the first place.
So do we get a little bit complacent because so much of what we decide about what's happening with the economy is the stock market? And if it's back to where it was before, then maybe things aren't as bad as we thought.
Well, I would always argue that we place too much emphasis on what happens in the stock market, at least as a proxy for what is going on with the economy domestically or globally. But that said, it's still very hard to say where things are going, right? It does not appear as if the Leave campaign was expecting to win. And as a result, there's been a lot of turmoil in the last week.
A lot of confusion on their part.
A lot of confusion about who's actually leading the party, who's going to become prime minister. The current PM has said he'll step down. The person who was expected to replace him said he's not running. So there's a lot of turmoil both in that party and in the opposition party. There's a big question about whether they will actually start the procedure that allows them to leave the EU. Leaders from other European countries have said that they want this to get over with because they want to reduce that hanging uncertainty. But there's not much of an incentive for the Brits themselves, or the British leadership rather, to actually start that clock ticking because they're still sorting things out, what it's going to look like, what their relationship with the EU would look like. It would be nice to have some sort of break that the UK elected officials could hit given this referendum. And technically they do, right? I mean, this was a referendum. This was the will of the people, but it's not binding.
Right.
It's not binding. Parliament has to trigger the process itself. And there's a question about if and, well, I would say when, but also if they would actually do it.
I mean, it would be tough to walk back from this, right? If 51% of your population has said,
well,
want to go
one way. I mean, you could say I think that there are ways that they could drag this out and potentially save face, or at least not appear to be directly thwarting the will of the people. And I would also add that it's not even clear what the will of the people is at this point. You're seeing a lot of buyer's remorse. Exactly.
So when you look at what's happening here in the United States and the potential impact of Brexit, is it a political consequence? Is it Donald Trump capitalizing on the emotions and the feelings in the UK, or is it an economic consequence? Do we see our economy start to slow down, or is it a little bit of both?
The political consequence is immediate, but the economic consequence may come. So if this 2 years that it takes for the Brits to figure out how they're going to exit the EU means a lack of growth or, you know, volatility in the markets and makes it very difficult for companies around the world to plan and investors to make investments, then you could have a decline in growth globally. That, of course, would hit us. But at the first instance, of course, this is a political problem.
But I'm wondering how political it is, though, because while there are a lot of parallels between a lot of the mood that's here, you know, anti-immigration, anti-trade, anti-globalization.
Anti-elites, anti-experts. Yes.
It's just at the same time, the U.S. is not the U.K. We don't put it out to the entire population to say, OK, go ahead and vote for this. When it comes to president, we have an electoral college. We have a lot of sort of systems in place that don't necessarily lead to like a direct vote on some sort of issue like this. So
look, there are obviously big differences between the referendum vote in Great Britain versus the presidential election here. But I think in both cases, for many voters, it comes down to being a protest vote, right? So sort of giving the middle finger to what you perceive as the establishment, even if you haven't necessarily thought through all of the policy implications of that protest vote. And when there was widespread panic last Friday, one thought that I had initially was, oh, well, maybe this will cause more American voters to reflect on what happens when you vote based on revenge, essentially, rather than some concrete policy ideas. And maybe some of Trump's base will say, oh, wow, that looks really awful. Instead, you have seen right-wing radio, Trump himself, many other supporters cheering on this particular decision despite financial panic. And maybe the fact that markets have calmed down somewhat in the last week will further justify that view.
When it comes to things like business investment and economic growth and hiring and wages and all of that, is part of the problem that we just continue to be in this climate of uncertainty? We just don't know what's coming next, and we're surprised by the way that people are voting sometimes against their self-interest, or they're, as you said, it's a protest vote and they don't even necessarily know what they're voting for. Does this just mean that we're going to continue to go through this uncertain period of economic growth?
I mean, that's the glass half empty perspective, perhaps. So, I mean, you could say, to Catherine's point, people will look at Great Britain and say, okay, it's not really just a protest vote. Or people say to themselves, okay, I know what happens when I just say no, but I need to support somebody who has more than just an opposition to something. They actually have a credible and a real alternative that is going to lead to prosperity, better governance, whatever it is they want. That could be the benefit of what happens from Brexit.
Perhaps. I hope that's the case. I mean, the issue is that there's a lot of uncertainty from other sectors also hanging over the economy, not just Brexit. Brexit, I think, was one of the things that was specifically cited to be in the thinking behind delaying another rate hike for the Fed.
You know, delayed.
Didn't happen. But there's also the slowdown in China. There is also what's happening with commodity prices. There are a lot of reasons why, if you're a Fed official or any other policymaker, you might be waiting before making any big decisions.
Catherine Rampell with The Washington Post, Rob Cox with Reuters Breaking Views. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.